From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on October 5th when the New York Times published its story detailing the sexual crimes of Harvey Weinstein. For roughly 24 hours, conservative commentators claimed that the political left was going to ignore the Weinstein story because he's a big donor to Democratic campaigns. Instead, the opposite happened. Weinstein's career crashed and a virtual flood of other allegations rushed forth, not only against Weinstein, but against so many men in power that has become difficult to count. Hollywood executives, yes, but also politicians from all sides, broadcasters, actors, and, well, the list goes on. Women used the Me Too hashtag to describe their own experiences of having been harassed or much worse. Last week, a number of prominent liberal voices called for a reckoning for President Bill Clinton, who has been accused of rape and other sexual violations. And in particular, take a look at the allegations against comedian Louis C.K. Five women from different times detailed the comedian's behavior. Louis C.K. followed up with a statement. It's all true. Not some of it, not parts of those stories, all of it. And that's just one example of why advocates urge us to believe women. The vast majority of women who make these allegations are telling the truth, and that's based on a wide range of research. But in the pages of the Daily Beast, a warning from senior editor Erin Gloria Ryan. The headline read, "After Al Franken and Roy Moore, we are dangerously close to botching the Me Too moment." Ryan warns that the Me Too movement is in a delicate place. Now, what does she mean by that, and how can the movement move forward without being taken apart? We're going to talk about that and more this hour with our guests in studio. Erin Kate Howard is co-founder of Lady Parts Theater. Erin Kate, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Vanessa Cheeks is a staff reporter for Open Mic Rochester. Vanessa, welcome back to you.
Thank you.
And Kelsey Claire Hagen is a stand-up comedian and a producer of a fundraising show for sexual assault survivors. And why don't you tell us what the name of that show is? But let me warn our listeners, it's got what some might consider a course title, but it comes there. It's there for a reason. Kelsey Claire, the name of the show?
It's called Don't Grab My Pussy.
And the designed to assist sexual assault survivors, right?
Yes.
Raise funds. Thank you for being here on the program as well.
Thank you.
I'm just going to go around the table and start with our guest's response to some of what Erin Gloria Ryan wrote in Daily Beast. And I'm going to quote from her piece now. She writes, quote, "Privately, I've been worried that we are cruising toward the Me Too moment's tripwire, the point where a public's overcredulity means that opportunists could exploit the movement and bring it all crashing down, worse off than before. And then, stories of sexual misconduct will again be relegated to cocktail hours and DMs, feminist ghost stories that women share with each other, with the knowledge that the demons that torment us still lurk in corner offices. This Roy Moore, women are liars mindset is the worldview that needs to change in order for women to truly have access to the same opportunities that men have. But its opposite, the notion that women must be believed without any evidence whatsoever, will lead the worst among us to exploit the proof loophole and wreak as much damage as they can before their lies are discovered and skewered. At that point, the loophole irreversibly closes. And if that happens, we're stuck in Roy Moore's world, where men are the arbiters of morality, and if women aren't lying, they must have been asking for it," end quote. That is a strong concern, and Erin Kate Howard, I'm going to start with you. Is she raising a point here? Is this an exploitable moment? What do you think?
I think that, you know, yes, it is, but we have to consider the fact that, you know, we're living in a time where people's knowledge, attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors tacitly support violence against women. And so we're living in a time where it's just, I think, almost assumed that we won't be believed as opposed to be believed, and that the pendulum needs to swing the other way and is swinging in the other way, and we need to do everything we can to support that change. And that means that, you know, the power structure that exists mm-hmm. is being dismantled. It has to be dismantled in order for the pendulum to swing. And that's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to take a long time, but it's necessary. So will there be bumps in the road? Will there be people that come forward and aren't telling the truth? Possibly. But the other thing I think people have to understand is that coming forward is not an easy thing to do. It is incredibly difficult to expose yourself that way because of all the things that go along with having those kinds of experiences. So I think that's a really difficult a really difficult piece of it that it's not an easy thing to
can
do.
Can I follow up with what I'm sort of interpreting from your response and also her piece? One issue I had with her piece is it sort of implies that that the reality we've been living with, which is that women are often not believed mm-hmm. and often not given credit for their stories being credible, and all of the terrible things that go along with that, that because of everything since Weinstein, that the entire American public's like, oh, yes, yes, believe all women, I get that now, and that one big false allegation could make all the people who don't want to believe it, or the political forces that guard Donald Trump and Roy Moore and others don't want to believe it. They'll say, ah, see, we shouldn't have believed it. I'm not sure, and what I'm hearing from you is we're still on a slow march to getting people to believe women's
Absolutely.
Voices.
Absolutely.
Just because of since Weinstein, it's not like everybody's like, well, I guess we should have believed women. It
right.
sounds like you think we're not nearly far enough along to believe that we've made all the progress that we need to make.
Absolutely. And I think that the other thing that she brings up in her article about there being degrees of severity, mm-hmm. sure, is, you know, someone smacking your butt the same as violent rape? No, it's not the same. But that doesn't mean that, you know, one is okay because it's not so bad. That we have to come to a point where that kind of behavior isn't normalized. And, you know, we're living in a society where that just doesn't happen. It's never okay to treat anyone like that.
Sure. And that is another part of the piece that I had flagged to talk about, because not only is it Erin and Glory Ryan's point, exactly what you just heard, that she's arguing in the piece that not all allegations are the same, and is there a concern or a danger with treating them all the same? Then the question is, what is the outcome? Should Al Franken resign? You know, should anybody who is in the public eye sort of shrink from the public eye if this comes out? Or is there any possible redemption? Can that be done without cynicism? We'll get back to that coming up here. Let me ask our other guests as well to weigh in. Vanessa Cheeks, your thoughts on the piece and the concerns raised by the writer in the Daily Beast.
I think my biggest concern with the piece was the idea, like you mentioned, that through all of this hard work, especially on social media and women of color who started the hashtag, that one false accusation could bring it all crumbling down. And I think she doesn't give enough credit to the women who are coming forward, whether it is something that's, you know, what would be considered minuscule, like harassing phone calls as the example that she used in the piece, or something like actual, like, sexual rape or assault. But I think that we're past that. We're past that point. And right now, the women who are doing the work in the movement, and even the men, I know, like, Terry Crews and some celebrity men have come forward about their own sexual assault experiences. We're not ready to kind of let it go back and relegate it back to whispering about it. Like, oh, did that happen to you? It happened to me, too. Like, that's done. And it can seem overwhelming, and it can seem problematic, because I think she made a point in the piece that nobody's safe. But if you haven't done anything that would warrant you not to be safe, then you really don't have anything to worry about. If you're not a harasser or somebody who protects harassers, somebody who automatically assumes that, you know, well, I know this guy and he's not a bad guy, it didn't happen to me, or I've never seen him do it, then you really don't have anything to worry about. But if you're a true ally and you understand the concept of, you know, being an ally and being there for women, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to, you know, put yourself out there and be, I don't want to say not, you know, and believe them, but just being there for them and making sure that their voice is heard, and then going from there and figuring out what the next steps are.
The people who might be prone, it sounds like, Vanessa, the people who might be prone to, let's say there is a high-profile allegation and it turns out to be a lie. The people who might then say, well, I guess all those allegations against Al Franken, Roy Moore, Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, pick whatever, are lies, are probably not really allies to begin with.
No, and they want to believe, they're already geared up for it, right? They're looking for it, even if it is, it's not a false accusation, but people are casting doubt upon it. They're ready for that, and that's what they want. And then, you're right, they're not allies to begin with. They're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop and looking for fault. And rape accusations or women coming forward, it's not always perfect. It's not wrapped up in this beautiful bow, like, oh, here, I have, like, these pictures and this, you know, detailed experience of what happened to me. It doesn't work like that, and that's for a lot of reasons, you know, whether it's evidence or trauma and how the mind works, even, how it shields itself from trauma. So you're right. these people aren't really there to help. They're not really, that's not their job. I guess that's not what they, that's not the role that they want to play. So.
Okay. Kelsey Claire Hagen, what do you think?
I'd say my biggest issue with this article was the way that she framed the Me Too movement, because I mean, I think it says it in the title, it's Me Too. So it's not about Aaron, the author. It's about whomever feels like they were ever taken advantage of and couldn't say anything or felt powerless because of this rape culture that we live in. It wasn't like, oh, if you are not anything more severe than like getting stalked, then you don't apply to the Me Too movement, which I feel like she was kind of being exclusive to people who might have felt a similar trauma but weren't exactly like, couldn't really find like legal reparations, you know, because of their trauma. Like the Me Too movement was really for people who had ever, it was really supposed to kind of show the gravity of this situation that we all have felt in varying degrees, this this cornered feeling, whether it be something that could have legal action or just something that makes you uncomfortable at work. And I think that her issue with like, oh, well, if one person, you know, now that this is coming through by storm, and like if one person is wrong or is lying, then like it makes a whole thing. I think that kind of is that idea that we have to like soft serve our movement for people who, no matter what we do, they're not going to believe us. If Roy Moore, if anybody is lying, or I'm sorry, if anybody in this whole movement in the last like 10 days is found to be completely truthful, they're still going to find some reason to not believe them, or some reason that, you know, we're all like crazy, or, you know, maybe we're on our period right now or whatever. Like, it's there. We've been working on it for a long time and nothing's really been happening. So I don't really think that we have to like, you know, nip and tuck our words so that like Roy Moore and the people who don't really like women like are gonna start being like, oh, okay, I understand. Also, I think that she kind of sensationalizes what's happening to people. Like, no one's saying like, let's go murder Louis C.K. Like, he's not gonna die. Like, he's just not gonna be like a hero for all these comics that I know. Like, and she kind of has this point where she's like, well, like, should Louis C.K. like have as much of a punishment as like someone who's in office? Well, for me, like, Al Franken is not somebody that my peers look up to, you know? I mean, he was a comedian, so he's a bad example, but Roy Moore isn't somebody that my peers look up to. Like, his going to jail and his like punishment isn't going to have as much of an effect on me as Louis C.K. and Al Franken, because they're male comedians that a lot of my peers look up to. That's a direct like hit for me, you know? So the fact that Louis C.K. has been admonished, which these allegations did not just come up, they've been, I mean, ever since I started stand-up, they've been, you know, everybody was like, Louis C.K. is going to expose himself to you. And I was like, okay, cool. And so now finally people are getting justice for it. And so, yeah, those are all my issues with the article.
All right, I see the phone ringing already. And listeners, there's a lot of different places to take this conversation and important directions to take the conversation. I'm going to start on the phones with John in Webster, who is invoking a past story that he thinks there are some echoes here. Go ahead, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, Evan. Very good discussion. I think they're correct in the sense that there will be authority figures who will say, we can't believe these women. They're all coming forward for some gain. Reminds me of the days in the north of England in the 60s and in America in the 80s and 90s, where men came forward who'd been abused by the clergy when they were young. And there were just dozens, if not hundreds of them. And a lot of people said, oh, no, that can't be true. It can't be true. They're just coming forward to try and get money from the churches. I can't imagine anyone degrading themselves to where they would do that. But I do think that women will come forward if they can find an avenue that will help them come forward to claim that they have been abused by people in authority. And the churches are a good example of that. They'll try to prevent them coming forward, and eventually they have to give up, and just like the Diocese of Boston having to give out millions of dollars to men who were young when they were brutalized, sexually brutalized by the clergy. Thank you, Evans.
Yeah, John, thanks for the phone call. I mean, John's right. I mean, early on when those stories came out, people thought, well, this is just someone who wants money. Or let's start with this. Aaron Kate Howard is someone who has been sexually assaulted. John is I think, reminding us that occasionally you see people say, well, that person just stands to gain. And I know you're sort of, I know it's just amazing to hear that. But as someone who went through that, let's build on John's point. What do you say to anybody who thinks there's something to gain by making those allegations and maybe doing so publicly, but even not in the glare of the media to make allegations?
Well, I think that from my own experience, and I'll just share a little bit, I was assaulted over 20 years ago, and it wasn't until probably 3 years ago that I really understood the impact that had on my life, that the trajectory of my life completely changed after that. And there's no amount of money that would have made that better. There's no amount of money that would have, you know, made me able to have relationships with people or to, you know, not almost fail out of the program that I loved. Or the impact of something like that, and I can't say that, I can't speak for all people and say that it's the same for every woman who's assaulted, but for me, it completely changed my life. And in some ways, I could say it ruined my life. In some ways, it felt like it. I feel like for me now, I found a way to channel that. But for people that really believe that a woman would come forward and share something so devastating to get some gain, it's just not worth it. To be ridiculed, to be questioned, to be, you know. And I didn't say anything to anybody for, I admitted parts of it, not admitted, I'd shared parts of it, but never like who it was. I couldn't say his name for 20 years. I couldn't even say his name out loud. I still can't, really. I wouldn't, you know. But the impact on your life, there's no reparation, you know. There's nothing that's going to heal that and take that away. And I think that, you know, that's the difference for, you know, Louis C.K. is going to go on and live his life. Does it suck for him? Probably. But for someone who's experienced something horrible, you don't get to, you know, go on and have some other life. It's there with you. You don't get to sort of magically remove it. And money's not going to change that, I guess. I don't know if I'm...
No, first of all, I admire you for even sharing what you've been through, and I'm sorry. I also don't even comprehend those who would claim that women would come forward with false allegations for some sort of monetary gain. Where is this magic money out there that I don't see? Yeah. Are there bags of cash that some cabal is giving to women for making accusations?
Right.
I mean, I know it's flippant, but even, you know, Aaron, can I know what you went through? As you said, in some ways you can feel like it ruined parts of your life. And it's still difficult to talk about because there's nothing really that society doesn't really give much help or support, let alone money, right?
Right, right. Well, I think everything is downplayed. Because it's so normalized in a way. I was having a discussion with someone very close to me that I love who's male and talking about the Louis C.K. stuff and, you know, why didn't they just leave the room? Why didn't they, you know? I said, you know, from the time I was probably 12 years old, I felt like prey. And that's like, it's like you know, my first job, I would get cornered in the freezer. I was working in a restaurant and, you know, these grown men touching me because they thought they could get away with it. It was terrifying. And you don't just, I can't even explain it, but it's like feeling like prey and walking, you know, down a street where I lived in New York and there was not a day I walked out that door that I wasn't harassed in some way by someone, and it is very it's scary. I guess that's the only way to say it. It's scary, and when you're 14 years old, you're a child, and that's your, and you see that nobody will do anything. My boss wouldn't do anything. Nobody will do anything. So nobody will do anything. And every time something like that happened, nobody did anything. So when I was raped, nobody was going to do anything, you know, because that person was going to be believed, because that person was, you know, somehow more important than me.
Kelsey Clare raised the issue in the article, Erin Kate, about not all allegations are at the same level. And I obviously that is true. The question is, you know, what is done about that? Let me just go ahead and quote from the piece. Erin Gloria Ryan, writing in the Daily Beast, says, quote, "There is a problem. Right now, the court of public opinion is faced with the awkward task of assigning degrees of severity to sexual misconduct because, while they all cause harm, they don't all cause the same amount of harm and thus don't merit the same punishment. Furthermore, punishment varies by the power the offender wields. A senator, for example, should have a much higher moral threshold than, say, a comedian." Writing in the New Yorker this week, Masha Gessen treads lightly in making this point, warning that the Me Too moment could devolve into sex panic if we're not careful, and writes, "The distinctions between rape and coercion are meaningful in the way it is meaningful to distinguish between, say, murder and battery." What do you make of that?
Just because one isn't as bad as the other doesn't mean it's not bad, you know? And why do you get to determine how, you know, how traumatic that is, how impactful that mm-hmm. is, you know? Mm-hmm. Who gets to decide that? Because the fact of the matter is that those things shouldn't be happening, period. You know, none of it should be happening. And so the onus is on the people who are perpetrating these things to stop. And for us as a society to stop accepting it. You know, we talk a lot about women, but, you know, men need to get on board too and stand up and be true allies.
Sure.
And I don't mean, you know, come on the radio and talk about it. I mean, if you see your buddy doing something inappropriate or saying something inappropriate, you step in.
Right, right.
If enough people do that, that will become the norm. And that should be the norm, you know.
I had a conversation with a friend this weekend who leans left politically. And he was inclined to say, well, look at those pictures of Leanne Tweeden, you know, the woman who's accusing Al Franken. You know, she had some pretty risque pictures. I'm going, we're going to do that? That's the road we're going down? Mm-hmm. That's not the road that anybody should be going down. And I suspect that was based on political ideology. And I think we have to mm-hmm. occasionally say so. But then, based on your not only your own life experience, but how you look at this issue, what do you want to happen with someone like Al Franken?
Well, I think he's a little bit different in terms of how he is handling it, where he called for his own ethics investigation. I would love it if he were to actually, you know, if he were to truly examine his behavior. And unlike, I mean, Louis C.K. quote unquote apologized, I don't really feel like that was really an apology. I would love to see Al Franken do something different and be a great example of learning
stay
from.
In office?
I don't know. That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's tough because do you throw the baby out with the bathwater? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think emotionally I say no, but is that, I don't know. Where do we learn? How do we learn something and move forward constructively? Because if we're just slashing and burning all the time, you know, if these people are going to truly learn, you know, then is it important that they stay and
yeah.
that they've learned something and they're able to help the movement? I don't know.
Okay. Vanessa, do you think if Al Franken stays in office, does the progressive political movement lose any of its sort of voice on this as a moral authority? Do we need to treat everyone the same, regardless of their background? And then furthermore, I've seen arguments. Kate Harding, for example, wrote a book on rape culture, and she argued last weekend that Al Franken, we don't have to like his behavior, but he is going to help pass legislation that's better for women than alternatives, so therefore let's keep him in office. And she felt some backlash from some from many voices on that. How do you feel about this?
Yeah. I understand the idea of, you know, degrees of severity. I do. But that also applies to people who are in public office. People elected that man, and whether or not he passes legislation that's supposedly good for women, if he's not good for women, then why is he still able to hold his office? You know, if he's going to be doing photo ops with people, you know, celebrating his good work and grabbing somebody's ass, you know, in the same photo, then why he... Again, he...
That's one of the newer allegations,
yes,
by the way,
yeah.
If you didn't hear.
And yeah. And it's one of the ones where he, you know, from when he's been in the Senate. And for me, I think that not enough men are held accountable for their actions. They can be accused. Those accusations are explored. They can be proven true. Like you said, Louis C.K. is going to go on and he's going to live his life. And I have a feeling that while this is a rough patch for him, it's tough to say whether or not his career will actually suffer. And... you know, he's come out and actually said he's done these things. And I think that's a telltale sign that, you know, women can come forward and they can tell their story. And that's pretty much what the Me Too hashtag is doing. It's a platform to tell their story. But it doesn't mean consequences. And I honestly think that it should. People are so eager to kind of hold on to, you know, their heroes, the people that they look up to or people that they think, you know, well, they've always been good. This is just maybe one blemish, but it's a big blemish. It's not, you know, it's not like they stole a dollar out of a tip jar or something crazy like that. It's assaulting somebody. It's making somebody feel unwelcome, uncomfortable, unsafe. And as a woman who has constantly felt unsafe in one situation or another, I can say it's not okay. It's not simple. And it's overlooked already far too often that I couldn't say that I would be okay with, you know, even if they've apologized, men keeping their positions of power. That being said, like in, I guess, regular people, you know, in regular jobs, it's a little more difficult to navigate because you're not necessarily, you know, it could be your boss or it could be a coworker or something like that. So it's a little tough because then you have to deal with your own personal, like, do I report this person and possibly lose my job or something like that? So it can get more complicated. But I think that goes with what you said about, you know, people not doing anything about it. I think we need more people to be able to step up and do things about it.
I just, if I could.
Sure.
Listening to you talk, and we talked about the degrees of severity. Like, I look at me giving Al Franken sort of a pass and being like, well, I don't know. You know, but listening to you, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's so ingrained in us to, it's awful.
We want to be amicable, right? We want to be like, yeah. Well, you know, yeah. I'm willing to forgive. And you know, I'm just so sick of saying, like, sure, I'll forgive him. Forget it. Like, yeah.
But Kelsey Clare, you know, listening to Vanessa's point on Al Franken, you know, doesn't matter what his politics are. He has done this personally to women that sort of should be enough to say, no, that's not the kind of person we want.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of people out there kind of having that push-pull or defending Franken from the left. Not a whole lot. Not nearly as many as Roy Moore's defenders,
no.
I don't think.
Oh, geez.
But just to show, I think over the weekend is an example of how even ostensible allies can kind of dig in and deny women. Look what Lena Dunham did.
Yeah.
Lena Dunham comes out, And I won't even go into the lengthy story there, but it's, if you want to read it, it's easy to find. There's someone who's supposed to be ostensibly some sort of a feminist and yet doubting a woman because
yeah.
she knows the guy. Well, you know, that's someone I love, and I'm inclined not to believe it there.
Yeah.
So everybody has these, you know, moments where you have to ask yourself, this is going to be hard, but if one of my heroes is sort of on that, in that place, can we believe it, and will we believe women?
Yeah, I think the easiest way to digest this for I feel like I've coddled many a men who are like, my heroes are falling, and I've had those conversations where like a guy was like, I do like psychology, and I know that you can't recount all of those details 40 years later, like trying to poke hole. Yeah, and I was like, PTSD will do that to you, you know. So I'm thinking maybe, and it's just, it's like, okay, you can be only so liberal. It's like the Bernie bro kind of mentality. So what I'm trying to say is if you digest this, all of this information through the idea of like, at least with politicians in power. Okay, so Al Franken, great guy. Like, I appreciated his politics prior to this happening. And yeah, maybe he would pass some great things for women. But let's think about somebody who wouldn't grab a woman's ass and how they interpret women in their life and treat women in their life. Maybe they could pass even better legislation for women because they actually respect women, you know, like, and if we clean the slate of all these dirt bags, then like maybe we would actually,
can we get to the top and
like we would actually get some stuff done. Because you can be on the left and you can be like, yeah, women should like have equal pay, blah, 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 blah. But like, if you're not walking the walk, then you're not really advocating for us because you're part of the boys club. And the same thing with Louis C.K. Like, I know he's not passing legislation or anything, but like, yeah, okay, he's not like, he's made some gross comments in his stand-up. But like for me now, I have this huge sigh of relief because I'm like, wow, like now these boys clubs that happen in every city with comedy, like they realize that like they can't do that stuff anymore. Like they will get called out. And like I as a person and like women in comedy have like a voice to do that now. And so thank God, you know, like, well, not God, I think women who stood up for themselves.
The quote of the day.
Give women the credit.
Yeah.
After our only break of the hour, I'm going to read an email. Brandon, I'm going to read your email. He wants to know if men are being guilty until proven innocent. So we'll get Brandon's email. I also want to get some other feedback we have on some of the themes that Kelsey Clare just mentioned, that if the progress that was framed in the Daily Beast piece was overstated, at the very least, you're already feeling like in the comedy community, like there's certain things are now going to be a little bit more out of bounds. Not everybody's changing today or tomorrow.
No.
And not everything's going to be perfect tomorrow. But 2017 has shaken things up in some ways that at least is the starting point. And I think people are heartened, I hope, to hear that from you.
Can I point one thing out, though? Even though, and I thought this is another issue I took with this, is like even after Harvey Weinstein, even after blah, 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 Bill Cosby still got off. Kesha did not seek justice when she was clearly drugged and raped. Chris Brown just came out with a song after he provably beat a woman. Mel Gibson was just in a movie. Like, this court of public opinion is not being applied to everybody. Mm-hmm. And for her to, I think it's a preemptive attack on the movement for her to be like, everybody's just being like totally punished in this, in society, because they're not. Like, clearly the majority is still getting away with it. So,
and if it's the Mel Gibson standard, he was out of films for almost 10 years. So, you know,
I guess
maybe I don't know if that's society's view or Hollywood's view on enough.
Yeah. I feel like, especially in Hollywood, he should probably, like, get out of there. I don't know. Maybe work at Home Depot, maybe. I don't know.
It's going to be our only break of the hour. You're hearing Kelsey Clare Hagen, a stand-up comedian. Aaron Kate Howard is co-founder of Lady Parts Theater, and Vanessa Cheek, staff reporter for Open Mic Rochester, discussing the Me Too movement, believing women, the importance of believing women. And if anyone takes anything from this hour, it's to keep believing women. But let's go ahead and get that break, and we'll come right back. Coming up in our second hour, people who are homeless in the Rochester area live much shorter lives than people who are not. Maybe that's not a surprise to you, but when you see the disparity, it might shock you in the way it shocked me. New research indicates just how short the lifespan is for people who are homeless. We'll talk about how the community locally is helping people who are homeless, especially as we head for the colder months. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Robert sends us to a headline, and here's the headline. It actually comes from The Onion, but Robert says, in this moment, it's sad that this is actually what feels like the most accurate headline out there. Roy Moore on pedophilia accusers. These women are only discrediting me now because shifting sociocultural norms have created an environment in which assault allegations are taken seriously. That's not an actual quote from Roy Moore. It's The Onion. But let me also get Brandon's email, because it's representative of several emails I have, in which he says, regarding accusations of sexual assault, it seems as though the accused are supposed to be considered guilty until proven innocent. Is sexual assault held to a different standard than the rest of the legal system? I am all for justice to be served against sexual predators, but this observation has been standing out to me and doesn't seem to be addressed by anyone in the media. Brandon, I'm just going to start real briefly, and then the panel is going to have a lot to say about this, but I don't know why you think the legal system views people as guilty until proven innocent, because I didn't notice that Louis C.K. or Al Franken or Harvey Weinstein are in jail. The legal system ain't done anything with this. I mean, people who commit these many, many acts seem rarely to actually get the legal system to do anything. It's society's issue. So if you choose to believe women who make allegations, because the research says that the vast majority of that is not going to be fabricated at all, that's up to you. But you're not a judge and you're not a jury and you're not sending anybody to jail. So I don't know why you're confused about the legal system. So I'm going to start with Erin Kate Howard. Thoughts on that, Erin Kate?
Yeah, you're talking about the court of public opinion and not actual courts, because like you were saying just before the break, there is proof and they don't go to jail. So the amount of, if we just look at statistically, I think 97% of rapists do not ever go to jail. So just think about that if you're worried about, you know, people being not getting their due process or whatever. I think it's a stark reality to look at it that, you know, 3 out of every 100 people that are accused of rape, I believe this is the correct statistic, go to jail. And then the 97% of the other rapists are out there probably continuing to be rapists. So that's what I have to say.
Okay, Vanessa.
Oh, man. I think that, you know, the court of public opinion can be tricky, right? And it's a little scary because you think, I think like she said in her article, it's basically somebody else's job to unexplode the bomb. That being said, it can be more difficult for women to come forward, and that bomb is also directed at them. So especially online, I've noticed, you know, Twitter, the hashtag MeToo, it's a way to kind of put yourself out there and share your story. In a lot of cases, statutes of limitations are well passed, so these men can never face a court or a jury or anything like that of their peers. So they will never answer for what they did. And Twitter is a way for people to kind of share that and say, like, this did happen to me, and whether or not they name names. But that also kind of opens up that same court of public opinion onto the victim. And so it's not really, it's not as one-sided as I think people kind of make it out to be, where you're sending out an accusation and this person is then having to defend themselves. You're sending out an accusation and then you also still have to kind of prove your case, whether or not you're in a court of law or not. Mm-hmm. So I think that can be equally as difficult. And I think that, like you said, they rarely ever see justice in the legal system. And so to say that somehow we're kind of circumventing it, it kind of blows my mind, because when I think of all the times or all the stories, all the things that I've read where women are saying they have proof, they've gone to the authorities, and the authorities themselves have kind of disparaged them from ever coming forward or from pursuing a case. I think that is also an injustice as well.
So. Sure. It's a great point. And Brandon, you know, I would just add to Vanessa's point, you know, think about how rarely there is any actual justice done. But in the cases where there are, there is a legal examination, and it can be very difficult for victims to, quote, show evidence. I mean, sometimes there's not the kind of evidence that will stand up enough in our legal system to get justice for them. And so I would kind of rest your mind about that, Brandon. I mean, to the extent that anybody's going into the legal system, there is going to be an examination. Look at what's going on with Roy Moore. Breitbart sent their advocates down to try to discredit a Washington Post story, and all they could come up with is the fact that the Washington Post was calling everyone these women who made these accusations knew to find out, did you mention it in the past? Did you write any letters? And they're going, see, they were trying to, I'm going, oh, they were doing journalism, were they?
Yeah. Wow. Shocking.
Breitbart uncovers that others do journalism. So, but there is an examination if someone wants to press charges, and it can be hard enough to say it happened. But anyway, Kelsey Clare.
Yeah, I guess, personally, I've gone through the process as a victim, and I have gone through the process as a volunteer to help women who are coming for support or for a rape kit to the hospital. And I can tell you that, like, it's not like everybody who's like, I was raped, like, gets to have even, like, a jury. Like, they don't have a case most of the time, even if it's like very clear that this happened, you know, even if it's like a minor, you know, it's versus a, you know, an adult, like, it's not that clean cut. And people call women dramatic, but like every time this comes up, that's like, why are you like sending this person to the gas chamber for like his, you know, like no one's doing that. That was my first point. Like no one is saying Louis C.K. is going to lose custody of his kids and like have to spend every weekend in jail. Like that's not happening. It's just like, hey, maybe he won't make as much money and that's probably good, you know? And that's up to the people who interpret this issue. I will also say that like emotionally, the process of accusing somebody, and I did not follow through on it, is almost impossible. Like, there's a cop there that is a great person, I'm sure, and is there to do his job, but they're not equipped to deal with somebody who's in a state of crisis most of the time. And that's not a criticism at all. That's just not like entirely their job. So you have to talk to a cop about something that is very personal and very hard. And most of the time it's just like, it just becomes too much, you know? And
you decided not to pursue?
I filled out a proxy report, so which is a really great mode. And I don't mean to deter anyone from reporting by any means, but if you don't feel like pursuing an actual case, you can fill out a proxy report. So then in the area, if the police find that there is the same name is popping up over and over again, then they could come to you and be like, hey, we have a really strong case for this. Because so many people have reported this name, which I think is a really great avenue. It never came to fruition for me, but that was tough. That, you know, they were like, well, we're going to come to your house and interview you again. And I was like, I don't want to talk about this ever again. Like, I'm all set, you know. But there was proof. I had, like, a rape kit done, and there was proof. And still, like, it was just hard to think about, and I don't mean to get like too serious or anything, I just want to make it very clear to Brandon that this isn't a legal situation at all, really. It's okay. Just yeah.
Vanessa?
I actually recall last year, I think it was, Open Mic was pursuing a story on the change in how rape kits are handled. Mm. And I was kind of shocked to find out that before the law changed, police officers or those who like collected the rape kits could decide whether or not they submitted those rape kits for testing. So if you interacted with a police officer or somebody who was, you know, taking over your case and they didn't feel like, A, you either had a case or they didn't feel like, you know, you should pursue the case, they got to decide whether or not your rape kit, your evidence, was then processed. And the city of Rochester still has yet to get back to me on the number of rape kits that we have unprocessed, but that's, you know, another story. But it was just shocking to me because, you know, then it kind of goes into reporting and how that's done and how comfortable you feel talking to a complete stranger again about something so traumatic. And it kind of does go back to this due process where if you don't have the evidence or you're not encouraged to kind of hold on to it and keep track of it and there's no way to find out where it is in that process, how do you even continue, you know, go on to get justice for yourself? So, and it can be exhausting.
Such a good point on the reporting that Vanessa has done, Brandon. I would say I know personally a number of people who have worked as analysts in various parts of the Monroe County Crime Lab over the years. They opened a sparkling new facility, and the people working there do hard, difficult work, but there are backlogs in every section, including rape kits, and it has never come close to having the staff to get those down. That is not a controversial statement. That is true.
Yeah.
So I'm going to grab another phone call. Mark in Fairport. Go ahead, Mark.
Hello there. First of all, this is a wonderful discussion, and I want to say that it's long overdue for the women to have their power and to be heard. The question I have is, you know, when Bill Clinton was running for office, how did these young ladies vote? And were they supporters of Hillary? Because, you know, she went and trashed and burned a lot of people, which I think allowed all this to go on for another 20 years, which is sad.
Mark, thanks for the phone call. Matt Iglesias for Vox, he's a progressive writer, said a similar thing last week. He said that there should be a reckoning, that he was wrong to have supported not only Bill Clinton, but he thinks that it set victims back in terms of being believed, because even Gloria Steinem and others wrote pieces saying, you know, sort of shaming some of the accusers of Bill Clinton. I'm just curious now, Aaron Cade, you want to start there? Is this still relevant to the discussion now?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think that it's hard to, admit being wrong, you know, to making a wrong choice, to not looking at the whole picture, to not doing the right thing. It's hard. It's hard to admit that. It is very relevant. We have a president who, it's laughable that we have the president that we do.
The current president. Donald Trump, we can say his name, and there are at least 16 women with very specific right. allegations.
Yeah. Well, and there aren't there 12 court cases pending against him? I think we have to look at, people in power, because as we all hopefully know, rape, sexual assault, it's not about sex, it's about power. And it's about these people who feel that they can do whatever they want to and push the envelope. And supporting, I think it's easy to look at someone like Donald Trump because he's so repugnant, at least to me, in every single way, to look at what he did. And, you know, but then you look at maybe somebody else like Bill Clinton, who maybe did things that as a president that were politically good, you know, and it's so complicated the way that we see people, you know, and how we allow the way that we see people to excuse things, I guess. If I'm making any sense.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the clock, realizing we're down to about our last 90 seconds or so. Vanessa, thoughts there? Go ahead.
Well, to answer his first question, I think I was old enough to vote when Bill Clinton was running for president. But I'm of the opinion that every dog has his day. If one day it comes, you know, and somebody can bring allegations against Bill Clinton and it's time for him to reconcile that decision, then too bad, so sad. It's, you know, I understand the idea of wanting to preserve the good things that somebody has done. And I don't necessarily think you have to dismantle them if it turns out that they have done bad. But at the same time, you have to be held accountable for what you do. It's not, you know, if I leave a dirty dish in the sink, my roommate's going to come to me and be like, hey, what's up, man? What is this? So I think it's the kind of the same thing. You have to be able to take somebody to task and not be afraid to do so, even if they do fall in line with your political ideals. It shouldn't matter.
Okay, Kelsey Clare, sorry about our last 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, no worries. You should be held to the same standard that everyone else is being held to right now. I think there was an abuse of power when it came to his affair, and yeah, I wasn't old enough to vote for him either, but yeah, you know, in this past election, cool.
listen, I know we could do this all day, and just so many powerful points brought by our guests this hour, Aaron Cade Howard, Vanessa Cheeks, and Kelsey Clare Hagen, but and perhaps the most important, a reminder that even if you think there are some good points raised in that Daily Beast article, we still got a long way to go. In validating the stories and understanding and believing women have been victimized, which is far too many women to begin with. And I want to thank all of you for being here. Thank you for sharing your stories and your thoughts on these, and wish we didn't have to have some of these conversations. But thank you for being here. Short break and more Connections coming up.